The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
This week I saw a young man with a t-shirt that had on the front of the shirt one of the characters from Snow White, Grumpy, had his arms folded, kind of turned to the side, and the words read on the front of this t-shirt, "I'm not listening to you anyway." Have you ever tried to talk to someone who would not listen to you? In a spiritual sense, do we ever question if God might feel the same way when he's trying to communicate something that he would consider to be very important to us and we don't listen? In other words, we're folding our arms and we kind of turn sideways and we're in essence telling God, "I'm not listening to you anyway." With that in mind, go with me to the book of Psalms. In Psalm 81, we read some incredible verses, I find, about God's people who would not listen to God. Even reading the verses, I find to be very sad. But I want you to go to Psalm 81. We're going to start reading in verse 11. Psalm 81 in verse 11, and it says, "My people who would not hearken to my voice," who would not listen to me, God speaking, "and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust." Some translation says stubborn heart. I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. "And they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me," or they had listened to me, "and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries." Like I said, I don't know about you, but I find these verses to be very sad. Because these were the people of God, and here's God is speaking and saying, "You've got your grumpy t-shirt on, and you've got your arms crossed, and you're turning sideways, and you're telling me, and I'm not listening to you anyway." And what we learn from just these few verses here is that Israel did not listen to God's teachings, nor did they listen to God's counsel, and they took it their own, and they turned him out, they tuned him out, and they followed their own, as it says, stubborn hearts. You see, brethren, God told Israel through his commandments not to bow down to other gods, but they did not listen to God. Instead, they worshiped idols, even though it's very, very plain over and over and over that God had told them not to do this. This is something that I don't want you to do. Don't do this, but do it this other way. And they didn't listen. They didn't heed. They didn't pay any attention. And as a result, they chose to follow their own ways instead of following God's ways. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. And verse 12, 2 Kings 17 and verse 12, "For they served idols whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing." And brethren, and of course, we know what happened to Israel. We know what happened to the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 B.C., the Assyrian army came in and destroyed them. And they were no more a nation. Let's go still here in 2 Kings chapter 17, but let's go up in the chapter to verse 5. "Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Syria and besieged it 3 years." They came in and they surrounded the capital of the northern kingdom, Syria, and they surrounded, as it says here, for 3 years. Verse 6, "In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Syria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hela and in Hobor by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. In other words, they didn't listen to God. This is what this is saying. And they walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, out of and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Now, God had dealt with all of this. He had removed all of these things, and yet they still go back and they did not listen to God. And as a result, they were destroyed. Since they did not listen to God, they did not follow God's will, they did not follow God's way, and God allowed the Assyrian army to come in and to defeat them and to destroy them. Because they wouldn't listen to God. So here's the point. God greatly desires to be listened to. He wants to be heard. When God speaks, God wants to be listened to. He wants to be heard. He doesn't want us to turn a deaf ear to His instructions. He expects us to hear what He has to say, and He expects us to follow what it is that He is saying. Do you think that's too much to ask of us, of God? So I'd like for us to see some points on this topic of listening to God. I'm going to show you through the course of this sermon two main topics. We'll have other points underneath each one. Two main issues that we want to see under the topic of listening to God. The first one is, and both of them are going to be in the form of a question. I think I get more attention in one sense when we ask even a point in the form of a question because we're setting it up. But the first one is, the first major point is, how did God communicate to His people in times past? Well, in the past, God used different ways. I'd like for us to see three of the ways in which God communicated or talked to His people in times past. There are others. This is not an exhaustive study on listening to God or not listening to God, whatever the case may be. But I think it's going to get the point across by the end of the sermon. I think we're going to have made, I believe, some very important statements for us to hear. So the first way that I want to focus on of how God has communicated to His people in times past was God spoke to some of His people face to face. One of those examples is Abram. We know him as Abraham. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. There are others. He's not the only one that He spoke to in this way. Moses He spoke to that way. But we're going to look at the example here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and how God spoke to Abram. Verse 1, Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get you out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and bless your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Now we know the story. We know in one sense the end of the story of Abraham. He listened to God, he followed the instructions, and he did become this awesome nation. Now that's not the sermon, it's just the point that God talked face-to-face to some of His people in times past. Abraham is a classic example. A second method that God talked to and dealt with some of His people in times past was He spoke through His prophets. Now, we see this more than any other way in the pages of the Bible, especially Old Testament. He spoke to the prophets. I want to just point out two examples. There are dozens and dozens of illustrations, examples that we could see of how God spoke to His prophets and then what the prophets would do. Again, it's not the point of what the reaction of the prophets were, it's the fact that we're seeing how has God communicated with His people in time past. Here's an example from the book of Jonah. God spoke to Jonah And he told him to go to the city of Nineveh and to preach against the city because of the city's wickedness. So let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Jonah chapter 1. And verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now again, not the attitude, not necessarily what Jonah did, how the reaction was. Now the story goes, we know that he fled, and God still was saying, look, I'm still talking to you. Jonah, in the first, he heard him, but he crossed his arms, he turned himself sideways, and he says, I don't want to listen to you. And God said, no, you're the man, you're going to listen. And so he vomits him out on the shore, and we know what he does. He walks through this incredible city, and he tells them what God is going to do, and they repent. A second example that I want to see about a prophet of God, God speaking to, is in the book of Hosea. Let's go to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1. Let's read verse 1, Hosea 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of, and they listed these different kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. So this is during those days. This is during that time frame. This is what he's saying. Drop down to verse 4. Anyway, what he tells him in the other verses is, he said, I want you to take this woman who has been a prostitute, and I want you to have this son by them because I'm teaching a lesson to the people. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, call his name, the son that he is going to have, Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So here's this prophecy that he has, and it's a warning, and it's because the people of Israel are not paying attention. They aren't listening to me. They got their arms crossed. They've turned sideways, and they said, I'm not listening to you anyway. So God sends his prophet, and he tells him to do this incredible thing. We don't always understand all the situation as to everything that is there, but we do understand this. He did this to show the people, I'm going to destroy you. You're not paying attention. I'm giving you all kinds of signs, and you're not paying any attention. Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel during the 8th century. That's the same time frame of 2 Kings. You know, when we read the story of what happened. He was around. And he did these things as a witness to him. So God spoke to prophets. It's one of the ways in which he spoke to people in times past to get the message across. A third way, and I told you we're going to see three ways. This is the third way. The third one is God spoke through angels. We may want to use the word messengers. But in the scripture, it actually uses the word angels. So let's go to 2 Kings, the one place in the Old Testament that I want to see. 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 15, just the one verse. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 15. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, who is one of the prophets, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose, and he went down with him unto the king. Now, you don't know a lot about the story until you go back and you actually read what it is. All I'm showing you here is there's more than one occasion when God used an angelic being to speak to prophets or to his people. I want to show you one place under the same in times past where God spoke through his people through an angelic being, and that's, of course, in the New Testament. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 26, beginning in verse 26. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, unto a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary, or Miriam. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, or hello, getting her attention, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. Now, I mean, if you just step back and take a look at it, if you're a man or a woman and you just look at this and you go, what an incredible thing to be told. Here's this human being that has been addressed by an angelic being and said, you're going to be the mother, a parent of the Son of God. So what we've seen here is at least three ways. There, like I said, there are other ways, but three methods that we have seen are only a very small example of the different ways that God has used to communicate to his people. Also, there are many more examples of these three ways. I'm just trying to make the point, just to show you that how God has dealt with it. So with that, I want to go to the second major question or topic that we want to look at in learning and listening from God. The second main point is, we need to ask a question. And that question is, how does God communicate to us today? Well, the primary way is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. How do I know that? Because, well, that's what the scripture says. That's what the Bible actually says. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. So go with me to verse 1. God, who at sundry times or at different times and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. We also know that God spoke in times past to some of his people face to face. And we also know that he spoke to some of his people through angelic beings. But I said, through prophets is the main way that he did it. More recorded examples of that than all the others. And this is what the scripture says. But then we come to verse 2, Hebrews 1 and verse 2. God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now with that in mind, go with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. So we know the primary way that he talks to the people today, the people of God today, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now go to John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. You can read all the verses in between. They're good verses. Talking more about Jesus Christ is what it's speaking about, but I'm emphasizing certain points. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we know that that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us is Jesus Christ. We know that. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, brother, here's the point. We understand, and of course, we know that God is the Word of God. We know that. So today, it is through the Bible that God communicates with us. The old way of doing it was through mainly through the prophets, or God spoke face to face. Actually, when he spoke to Moses, it has it in it says face to face. In the literal Hebrew, really, it means mouth to mouth. In other words, they saw one another. They talked to one another. That's what it is saying, mouth to mouth. Anyway, and he also did it through angelic beings speaking to the people of God. Today we see, in Hebrews 1, made it very clear, says, that's how he used to do it, but how he's doing today is through his Son. Now, Jesus Christ is not walking around talking to people, but he is communicating with us, and he's doing it through the Bible. He is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, if you want to look at it in that way, and this has been stated many times by many other people, of course, the Word of God is Jesus Christ in print, if you want to call it that. Maybe a little bit a stretch in one sense, but we get the point. So he's talking to us, communicating to his people today through the Bible, and yes, that is through Jesus Christ. He's the one that had inspired it. And so it's his words, if you think about it in that way. And so that's a real good way of thinking and looking at this. And the reason, of course, he does it this way is because the Bible is the complete revelation of God to his people. In other words, the Bible is God's instruction book for mankind. Primarily, today, it's the instruction book for the people of God. It's not for a lot of other people. Is it available to other people? Yes. How do I make that statement? Because we know by lifestyles, if they're not really in tune with God, they aren't listening. They may read the words, but if they're not really obeying the words, they're not really listening. It's as if they got their arms crossed, turned sideways, and saying, I'm not really listening to you anyway. That's not what they think, but that's what they're doing. If you think about it in that way, and I think it's just a simple way to look at it. Now, with this in mind, I want you to go back to the Old Testament again, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8. Now, we know that Joshua is the man who took the place of Moses, who was called the servant of God. Moses was called the servant of God. Moses died. Joshua was appointed to take Moses' place to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, crossing over and over Jordan into the promised land. God speaks to him. God speaks to Joshua here in verse and in chapter 1. We're only going to see two of those verses, but in verse 7 it says, only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Joshua, have good courage. I'm with you. I'm communicating with you. I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. You're going to lead the people. I'm going to be there. And I had Moses during his 40 years to write this book down. And here is the book. Read it, study it, meditate on it, show you other scriptures, read out of it, write your own copy, have it available to you every day, every day, every day. And then you're going to be successful. So what we understand is that just as the book of the law, as it is referred to there in the book of Joshua, was Joshua's guide and instruction book in how to live the godly way of life, so is the Bible for us today. The whole of the Bible. The whole thing. An important question that we might want to ask at this time is, how does God communicate to us through his Son, the Word of God, today? See, the main question we asked, the first one was, how did he communicate with the people in times past? The next main question that we looked at was, how does God communicate with his people today? Well, I'm saying it's through Jesus Christ, and then I'm saying, well, Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and so it's Jesus Christ in print in one sense, and so it's the Bible. And so the next question then that I'm asking here is, how does he communicate today to us through his Son, the Word of God? In other words, how does he communicate? Through the Bible. And I think it's a real timely, I think it's a real good Bible. Well, I'd like for us to look at some things and to think on these and to meditate on these and to consider these things. One point that I have is God communicates to us when we are reading and studying the Bible. Now, how's that God talking to us? How is that Jesus Christ dealing with us, communicating with us today? Well, the answer is because God is interacting with us when we do that. God is talking, not verbal words, but he is talking or he is communicating, maybe a better word that we would want to use here. But God is communicating us through the human writers who are inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it down. Where did that inspiration come from? Jesus Christ. And he used the Holy Spirit to direct these people to write it down. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. The prophecy, who he is referring to, the Old Testament didn't come about, it was because it was the will of men. This is what he's saying. It didn't come about because it was the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They wrote it down as they were moved, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down. The books that they had written down by this time was all what we have, was just the Old Testament. That's what they had. That's what Peter had at this time when this is written here. It's not part of the Bible by this time. Second Peter is not part of the Bible as we have it today. If we were talking about having a Bible at that time that Peter is saying this, it would have been the Old Testament. And so what he is saying is, they didn't write it down because it was the will of men, but it was the Holy Spirit of God moved these men along, inspired them, and they wrote it down because this is what they were told. Now, we certainly understand that they wrote it down with their own passion, with their own personality, with their own styles, and all of those things come into play there. But it was the words of God, and who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. So he is the one who inspired them, and he used the Holy Spirit to inspire them to write down the Bible, what we would call. A second thing that we see of how he is doing it today through his Son, the Word of God, is God communicates to us through the Word of God when we search for specific answers. Abraham could go to God. God, you know, appeared to him. That God being that appeared to him is one we, of course, know as Jesus Christ. But he appeared to him, and he asked him questions. And God gave him his answers, direct response. Do we not think that today we can ask God questions, and he gives us specific answers? And the answer is, yeah, he does. It's found in the Bible. We can ask specific questions. We can research it out, and it's there. It's already there for us. And so one of the ways he communicates to us is by studying the Word of God, even for specific questions that we might have. What does God want us to know about, and you come up with any topic? Do a study on that throughout the entirety of the Bible, put it together, and you know what you have? The answer to the question, what God teaches on this particular topic. Because it's there. He's communicating to us what he wants us to know, the answer that he wants to know. A next point, or a third point, in how God communicates to us through his Son, the Word of God today, would be that he communicates to us at times through the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to show you some verses to back that up, to show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to John chapter 16, John 16 verse 8. John 16 and verse 8. There are several verses we could read, but verse 8 tells us the point that I'm trying to make here. And I want to read this through the New American Standard Bible, because I think it makes it a little clearer, to especially the point, the way that I'm trying to get it across here. And that is that he communicates through us through the Holy Spirit. And the he here is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness of judgment. This word convict in the King James Version is reprove. That's why I like the word convict. We understand that better. What it is saying is, when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, why is it saying when the Holy Spirit comes? Because it hadn't come yet when Jesus Christ is speaking these words. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon the people en masse. The day of Pentecost had not yet happened. Jesus Christ was still walking the earth, and he says, now I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another comforter, and the comforter is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach you these things. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world. Well, you know what? We're convicted by it also through the pages of the Bible, through the Holy Spirit within us. We are convicted that this is right and this is wrong, and that's what this is saying. Because Jesus Christ is living within us, Galatians 2:20, not even going to go there. But because Jesus Christ is living within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if we sin. Or rather, maybe we should say when we sin, we can experience guilt. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus Christ in us. This is what I'm saying. One of the ways he communicates this today is through the Holy Spirit. And it will do this. It will convict us. This is going to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Do you think it's not convicting us today because of the Holy Spirit being within us? And the answer is, of course it is. Of course it will do that. It will bring us to the place that we understand, this is wrong. I have sinned. And as a result of that, God's Son, Jesus Christ in us, through the Holy Spirit, is letting us know that we have done something wrong, and as a result of it, we can correct it. God corrects it, of course, and we understand it, but I think you get the point. So many times there are people who do not have the Holy Spirit within them. They don't know that what they've done is wrong, and they're never convicted of it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus Christ in us, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can be convicted that what we did was wrong or right. And it's wrong, we can repent of it because we know that we've done it wrong. And so it's one of the ways that he communicates to his people today is through the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 13. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he is the Holy Spirit again, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I want to show you one more verse. Go back to John 14. Go back to John chapter 14. We're now in John 16. Go back two chapters. Go back to John 14 and verse 26. I kind of quoted it this one earlier, or at least referenced it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Because we have Jesus Christ in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have Jesus in us, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And because we are reading and studying and being directed by the Word of God in print, the Bible, we can see things as a result that because we have the Holy Spirit, then it will teach us that what we've done is either right or wrong. That is the point. That's the point that this is saying. Now, that could be explained a lot of different ways, but I think that is the issue that we're looking at here today. We also need to understand God does still communicate to us today through His Son, through the Word of God, and through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit here, and I want to ask another question. Since God is still communicating with us today, and we've seen it's through His Son, through the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit within us, showing us, teaching us, convicting us, then we need to be willing to listen to God. What kind of listener are we? What kind of listener are you? What kind of listener am I? There are many different types or different kinds of listeners. But for the purpose of the sermon, what I'd like to do, and I'd like to narrow it down to three different kinds or three different types of listeners. Could be a lot of different ways of explaining this, but I want to narrow it down to three types of listeners. Number one, the first type is the passive listener. Some other words to describe the passive listener would be things as inactive, lifeless, unresponsive, docile. Those are just named as some, just some that we can name. Maybe we could even use the word grumpy. And I'm using grumpy because of the character. With his arms folded and his hands turned and his turned sideways and says, I'm not really listening to you anyway, attitude. That could be the passive. It's also supposed to be the second type. And we'll get that in just a moment. But it could be that type of a person. I'm not really listening to you anyway. That could be a passive listener. The passive listener is when I'm only dealing with this as far as being part of the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not dealing with this in some other way. But a passive listener is one who may attend church services, but he does not give a second thought to what is being taught. And the reason is because he is saying, in essence, that it does not apply to him, but it's good information and others need to hear it. That's what Grumpy was doing. Now, if you know the story of Snow White, I'm not advocating the story, but we all understand it. I think most of us understand it. Grumpy has got his head, and turned sideways. I'm not really listening anyway. Well, by the end of the story, you find that he really was listening, But this, because he knows, well, it doesn't apply to me, but it applies to all these other boys, and they need to hear this stuff. Well, that's a passive listener. Even somebody with church. It's good information, but doesn't apply to me. This kind of listener does not respond to what is being taught. I'm talking about somebody who could be attending services. And you ask the question, why? Why is this somebody who would be sitting in services, doing Bible study maybe, and all of those kinds of things, churchy stuff that we would talk about, why would this person not be responding? The main reason is, the primary reason is because they are not listening to God. In other words, they tune God and they tune God's word out of their lives. They are passive listeners. Some people just do not want to listen to God's instructions. They may even be able to repeat the information back, but it doesn't apply to them. Their thinking is it doesn't. You go, oh, there's nobody like that. Oh, really? You want to go back and rehearse the people of Israel? That's what they did. They thought it was good information. It just didn't apply to me. It applies to all these other people, but it doesn't apply to me. And every one of them is saying the same thing. And so this me became the whole nation of Israel. They didn't listen to God. What do you think is going to happen to this type of person who does not listen to God's word? Has it available? Because you see, you have to look at it and you have to think about it. You know, people who are not yet being called, people who do not have John 6:44 as part of their lives. No one can come to me, Jesus Christ speaking. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him or calls him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, Jesus is saying, people are going to be called, they're going to be given to me, and I'm going to work with them. The people that are not part of that statement, they don't know, they don't understand, and they don't know that they don't know, and they don't have any way of finding it out. Not at this point. It's all part of the plan of God. Another topic altogether, but that is the point. I'm not dealing with those people. I'm dealing with people who could be in church, part of church, but they're not paying attention because not listening to God because it doesn't apply to them. What is going to happen to that type of person? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The New International Version says, and it's much clearer here, and it says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. He's referring to the people who could know and choose not to listen. The second type of listener is what I would call the selective listener. Now, Grumpy could have been part of this as well, but we could apply Grumpy to both the first one and to the second one, but I think it fits really well in the passive, because I think it's good information, but it just doesn't apply to me, but everybody else needs to hear it. But the second one is the selective listener. He listens to only what he wants to hear. He only pays attention to what he wants to hear. And you may think, we don't have that. There's nobody like this in the church. Yeah, there are. There are people who only want to hear sermons dealing with prophecy. There are only people who want to hear sermons that deal with Christian living. There are people who sit in church who only want to hear sermons dealing with X, Y, and Z and every other letter. Scripture refers to them also as those who have itching ears. In other words, they only want somebody that's going to teach them what they want to hear. I call it selective listening. Another word for this kind of listener might be choosy, because they pick and they choose what they want to hear. Brethren, as believers, I think that we, whatever our thinking was before the sermon started, I think by now, I think every one of us would certainly understand it. As believers, we cannot pick and choose what we like or what we do not like in the pages of the Bible. It's a one book. If you choose one of it, I mean, you know, if you choose this part of it, then you also choose this part and this part and this part. You choose it all. A selective listener will only choose what it is that he's interested in, what he wants to hear. This is not an option. We need all of God's teachings. I want you to go to 2 John, verse 9. There's only one chapter. 2 John, verse 9. Or we could say chapter 1 and verse 9. I want to read this also from the New American Standard Bible. 2 John, verse 9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teachings, he has both the Father and the Son. If someone goes so far that they don't want to hear all of it, he doesn't have God. I'm going to go to another very, what we would consider a very famous verse. Go with me to Matthew 4 and verse 4. You know this. Many of you can have it committed to memory. Jesus Christ speaking these words when he is being tempted by Satan. I want to read this also from the New American Standard Bible because I think it might be a little clearer, even though we understand what it says and what he's meaning. But I want to put it in this context. But he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So I think it's very, very clear. The selective listener, as hard as it may sound, God is simply saying he doesn't really know God. The third type, or third kind of listener, is the assertive listener. I started to use the word aggressive, but there's too much negative baggage with that word in our language today. But that word could be in a positive, and I'm trying to convince anybody, so I'll use another word. I'm going to use the word assertive listener. Some other words for this kind of listener are confident, self-assured, positive, decided. Before I even go any further, which one of these three types do you think that we would want to be or would need to be? Well, this is it. This is the one. This kind of listener would come to services, again, because remember, I'm tying it pretty much all of this into church, not just on the Sabbath day, but being part of the body of Jesus Christ. And so I'm looking at it from the point of view of how a person could even come with an attitude to church services. This is a type of listener that would come to services seeking to attentively hear what God has to say. He is going to come with the Matthew 6:33 attitude. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's going to be in the forefront of his thinking when he arrives. Whether it be at services or whether it be in his own personal Bible study or his own time of meditating with God, whatever it is, he's going to have this thought first and foremost in his thinking, I am seeking God first. Not, I'm coming to study, I'm coming to hear what I want to hear, and if it's on something else, I don't want to really pay any attention to it because it doesn't apply to me, I'm not interested in it. So he's going to come with that type of attitude. In other words, he's also going to come with his ears and he wants to hear. He is going to come with his ears open, all ears, as it were, with the attitude of that he wants to hear, that he is going to hear it regardless of what God is saying. He wants to know if what he is doing is either right or wrong in his life before God. Am I going to hear things that is going to help me, that is going to cause me to be reassured that what I'm doing is yes, or what I'm doing, I'm reassured that what I'm doing is no? And as a result of that, he's going to make changes if he has to. Because he's going to come with that attitude. That's what he's going to do. And he's going to come with that frame of mind, seeking first the kingdom of God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31. Now, most of you are going to know verses 31 and 32. You may not have it committed to memory, but you're going to recognize it real quickly because I read this in a lot of different connections. Matthew 15, 31. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. He that refuses instruction hates his own soul, which is a better translation. And in the King James it says, if he refuses instruction, despises his own soul. A better translation is that he hates himself. Proverbs 15, verse 31 and 32. Proverbs 15, verse 31 and 32. Verse 32, he that refuses instruction hates his own soul, but he that hears reproof gets understanding. That's this type of listener. It's not the first type who is passive, is not going, it doesn't apply to me, so it really doesn't, and it's certainly not the selective one. This doesn't apply to me. This is the person who's going to say, whatever it is, it applies to me, and I'm going to learn from it. Go also with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ speaking. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And who is our rock? Jesus Christ. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Do you know why the fall was great? Because he thought he was doing okay. But it's a person, in essence, who was not listening to God. And of these three types, and like I said, you can classify it in all kinds of different ways, and I chose to do it with these three because I think it actually summarizes almost all of them. This is the only type. This is the only type of listener that will build his house upon the rock because he's the only one he's really, really going to listen. This kind of listener's attitude is one that is seen in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, it talks about the Bereans. Acts 17, the Bereans. Verse 11, just going to read the one verse. This is again from the New American Standard Bible. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. This is assertive listening. These Bereans were assertive listeners. I want to read you, and you can turn to them if you want to, but I want to read you four scriptures, two in the book of John and two in the book of Psalms. And you can listen, you can write them down, and you can listen to them or turn with me, but I'm going to just read one, then two, then three, then four, because I'm just trying to get a point across. The first one is in John 10 and verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 8, verse 47. He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Psalm 143 and verse 8. 143 and verse 8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I will lift up my soul unto you. I don't have to comment on these verses. They're just so out there. They're just so positive. One more. Psalm 85 and verse 8. Psalm 85 and verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. What are we going to do? But I think that by now, I think that we can see that God does still communicate with his people today. And I think each one of us needs to ask ourselves two questions. One question is, what kind of listener are we? And question number two is, are we listening to God? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.